Hey there, podcast friends. Welcome to Wisdom from Above. This is Dr. Harlan Betts. Wisdom from Above is a weekly podcast, and the goal of Wisdom from Above is to go beyond the reasoning of man to the revelation of God. God reveals himself generally through his creation, supernaturally through his son Jesus, and specifically through his holy word, the Bible. That's why we go to the Bible to find wisdom from above. This coming Friday will be what is known as Good Friday, the day of the year that is forever marked as the day that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross in Jerusalem. Today's podcast will examine the crucifixion of Christ. I want to help you understand the amazing love of Christ, the rugged courage of Christ, and the incredible suffering of Christ. Because we are sinners, we deserve the wrath of God. Because we are sinners, we deserve punishment for our sins. Because we are sinners, we owe a debt of death and separation from God. But the amazing thing is that God, in his great love for us, sent his one and only Son to die on the cross in our place. Jesus took the punishment for us. Jesus, like a lamb led to slaughter, was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. It was because of Jesus' amazing love for you and for me that he laid down his life on that cross. You know, I think sometimes we need to hear something dramatic, cataclysmic, incredibly realistic in order to gain a clearer perspective. So today, I say to you with John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're going to follow Jesus chronologically through seven stages of his physical passion as we behold the Lamb of God. Stage one, the bloody sweat and the betrayal, is recorded in Luke 22, verses 39 to 44. This bloody sweat and betrayal took place in the Garden of Eden. Jesus said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death." As Matthew points out in chapter 26, Jesus was deeply distressed. We read in Luke, "And being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Tiny capillaries can dilate to the point of bursting under extreme anguish and stress. When this happens near the sweat glands, blood and sweat are exuded together. Then stage two, the blindfolding and beating. Recorded in Luke 22, 63 to 65. This took place in the house of Annas, the high priest. First, one of the officers slapped Jesus across the face when he didn't like the answer Jesus gave to the high priest. Later, the chief priests, the captains of the temple, and the elders mocked Jesus in supreme disgust. Since Jesus claimed to be a prophet, they blindfolded him and hit him and mocked him, saying, "Prophesy, who hit you?" Then another would strike the blindfold of Jesus and say, "Prophesy, who hit you?" This one who had gone about doing good was being treated bad. This one who treated others with compassion was being treated with contempt. When the religious leaders determined that Jesus should be put to death because he was claiming to be God, They turned him over to the Romans so that the Romans could carry out their wishes for capital punishment. This brings us to stage three, the cat of nine tails, recorded in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26. It took place at the headquarters of Pilate the governor. The prisoner, Jesus, was stripped of his clothing and his hands were tied to a post above his head. The Jews had a law that prohibited more than 40 lashes. It's possible that the Romans made no attempt to follow this law. But at any rate, the Roman soldier would step up with a whip in his hand that was sometimes called the cat of nine tails because it was a short whip consisting of around nine heavy leather straps with balls of lead or pieces of bone or rock attached to the end of each strap. The heavy whip was brought across Jesus' shoulders and back and legs. At first, the whip would cut through the skin only. But as the blows continued, it would cut deeper into the subcutaneous tissues. At first, it would produce an oozing of blood from the broken capillaries and veins of the skin. Then it would lead to spurting of arterial blood from the vessels and the underlying muscles. Finally, blow after blow of the whip would tear strips of flesh from his back and leave it a mass of torn and bleeding tissue. When the centurion in charge demanded that the prisoner was near death, the beatings would finally be stopped. But their inhumane treatment of Christ was not over. The next physical trauma involved a crown of thorns, and that's stage four, recorded in Matthew 27:27-31. This took place in the praetorium with the Roman soldiers. The weak and bleeding Jesus was untied, allowed to slump to the floor, lying in a pool of his own blood. The Roman soldiers mocked Christ as one who claimed to be the king of the Jews. They decided to dress him and mock him as a pretender king. They threw a robe over his shoulders as a royal robe. They placed a stick in his hand as a royal scepter. And they needed a crown in their mockery, so they wove a small bundle of flexible thorn branches together to form a crown and pressed it onto his scalp. And again, there was more bleeding, especially since the scalp is one of the more vascular regions of the body. They mocked him as a pretender king. They beat him. Then they took the scepter from his hand and struck him across the head, driving the thorns deeper into his scalp. When they completed this utterly heartless and sadistic beating, they ripped the robe from his back. Well, by this time, the robe could have adhered to the clots of blood and serum on his beaten back, so the removal of the robe would be like ripping off a surgical bandage. It reopened those wounds and caused excruciating pain, almost as though we were being whipped all over again. Following this incredibly horrible treatment, Jesus was forced to carry his own cross down the Via Dolorosa. This is stage five, where the Via Dolorosa is recorded in Matthew 27:31-34. This is on the road from the governor's quarters to Golgotha's hill. In deference to Jewish customs, Jesus' garments were placed back on him, and the heavy crossbeam of the cross was tied across his battered and bleeding shoulders. The procession of the condemned Christ began its slow journey along the Via Dolorosa. The procession wound its way from the Fortress Antonia to the Hill of Calvary, also known as Golgotha, the place of the skull, over a third of a mile walk. Due to terrible fatigue and loss of blood and weight of the cross, Jesus' muscles had been pushed beyond their endurance, and he fell under the weight of the cross. Finally, a strong North African onlooker named Simon was forced to carry the cross for Christ the rest of the way to Calvary. And we see the final physical trauma taking place as he is crucified. That's stage six, the crucifixion of Christ, recorded in Matthew 27:35-37, taking place on a hill called Mount Calvary. When they reach Calvary, the crossbeam is nailed to the upright beam of the cross, which is laying on the ground. Jesus was stripped of all but his loincloth, and he was thrown backwards onto the wood of the main beam of the cross. A soldier feels for the depression at the front of the wrist and drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. He moves to the other side and nails the other hand to the cross. Then the left foot is placed over the right foot with both feet extended and the knees flexed. A nail is driven through the arch of each foot into the wood. Then the cross is hoisted up with ropes and is allowed to drop into the hole in the ground, causing a sudden jerk of Jesus' weight down against the nails as more bleeding occurs. The excruciating pain of the crucifixion is hard to imagine. The fiery pain of the nails piercing the hands and feet would shoot up the arms and legs and explode in the brain. In order to breathe, Jesus would have to pull up with his hands and push up with his feet so his lungs could inhale air. As the arms and legs fatigue and the muscles cramp, the ability to lift himself and get some air becomes increasingly more impossible. Carbon monoxide begins building up in the lungs and in the bloodstream. A watery fluid begins to fill the lungs and the sac around the heart. Jesus cries out 3 times on behalf of others, on behalf of those who called for his crucifixion, "Father, forgive them." On behalf of the penitent thief, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." On behalf of his mother, "Behold your son." And then he cries out on behalf of himself, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Father, in your hands I commit my spirit. In order not to profane the Jewish Sabbath, the soldiers decide to end the lives of the men early by breaking the legs of the victims. But when they came to Jesus, they discovered he was already dead. So rather than breaking his legs, they simply ran a spear between his ribs, through his lungs, and into his heart. And water from the lungs and pericardium came out, followed by a flow of blood. There's one thing, though, I don't want you to miss. In the midst of this tragedy is a shout of triumph, and that's stage 7, the shout of triumph, John 19:30. It took place on that old rugged cross. Jesus shouted out, "Tetelestai! Tetelestai!" This was not a cry of despair or of defeat. It was a shout of victory. Tetelestai means paid in full. It is finished. The payment that had to be made was finished. It was paid in full. Jesus had paid the full penalty for our sins. You see, the wages of sin is death, and Jesus died in our place, paying the full penalty for our sins. Then according to Matthew 27:51-54, the veil in the temple ripped from top to bottom, the earth quaked, and the rock split. 3 years earlier, John the Baptist had pointed at Jesus and prophesied, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Now, on this day, the day of his crucifixion, the centurion cried out, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus, the Son of God, died in our place. Jesus, the Son of God, paid our debt. Jesus, the Son of God, triumphed over death. His death was fatal, but it was not final. It was Friday, but Sunday was coming. His body would lay in the grave on Friday and Saturday, but his body would rise from the grave on Sunday. Yes, my dear listener, God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that if you would simply believe in him, you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. If you have never before placed your faith in Jesus, I would encourage you to do so right now. Right where you are, place your faith in Jesus, believing that He died in your place and paid the penalty for your sins and rose from the dead. For God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, that if you would believe in Him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. That's how a person is saved. Now you could express that faith in a prayer like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know the wages of my sin is death and separation from you. But I believe Jesus died in my place and paid the penalty for my sins. And I'm placing my faith in Him and in Him alone for forgiveness of sin and for eternal life. Amen. If you just now placed your faith in Jesus, welcome to the family of God. You now have eternal life. Please contact me. I'd love to know that you made that decision. And that, my friends, is a wrap on this episode of Wisdom from Above. I am grateful that you are making this podcast a part of your weekly listening routine. Thank you to those of you who are sharing with others. I heard again this week about someone else who was sharing the podcast with others, telling them about Wisdom from Above, how to find it, and the value of listening to it. Thank you so much for sharing this podcast. This is Dr. Harlan Betts, wishing you a great week and God's blessings. I am honored that you're joining me in this passionate quest for wisdom from above.